It's said about when my father, who started a church in Pennsylvania many years ago, mid to late 80s, started a church there for a few years. And so my mother was my Sunday school teacher. And then we would all come out, and my mother was the piano player. And so she played the piano, and we would sing. And then my mother also would take us back, and she was also my junior church teacher. It was a family affair. A couple other kids that were there as well. But even then, having a junior church, just a place where you can go kind of shout and sing songs and learn verses. And it's a good time. It's a good time for kids to be able to do that and be able to enjoy it and have some fun. We have fun a different way. It's okay to smile and laugh a little bit, but you know, we try to carry ourselves a little different. I know you guys would enjoy if we did some junior church songs. Like if I brought Daniel up right now.
Do it.
Oh, just, do you have a favorite, Leo? Do you have a favorite that you? Okay, Daniel, come on up. You got this one. I wanted to make sure we weren't getting like Father Abraham or something where like 90% of us would have been like out if we tried to do that song. Would you like to lead him in the B-I-B-L-E?
Sure. Let's sing the B-I-B-L-E. You guys ready?
The B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the word of God. The B-I-B-L-E. Bible!
All right, now we jump into the next song, right?
No, just no. One song.
That's why he's in charge of the junior church. He's not good with the counting yet, you know? So it was one song, not two songs. But there we go. So looks like some of you didn't know that song. That's a good song. That's a good song, by the way, the B-I-B-L-E. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, let's go ahead and we'll start. We're going to read just three verses here. Let's start in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Do we begin again to commend ourselves? Or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you or letters of commendation from you? Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be an epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart." Let's go ahead and pray and ask the Lord to bless the message. Lord, thank you so much for your kindness and salvation given to us. Lord, through your Son, Jesus Christ, thank you for your word that we have. Lord, thank you for the many, many lessons that you can use to speak through your word of God. Lord, I ask now that you would bless this message, that you would bless the preaching of it, that you'd guard my lips, allow me to say right things this morning, that you would use me as a vessel, as a conduit to allow your Holy Spirit to move and work in hearts this morning. And Lord, that we ask that no glory would be given to me, but that you would be lifted up. And Lord, you said if you were lifted up, you'd draw all men unto yourself. And Lord, we pray that you would do that this morning, that you, our hearts and our minds and our eyes would be stayed on you for this time here this morning while we look into your word. And Lord, thank you for the activities that are going on afterwards. But Lord, I pray that our hearts would just be settled now on the word of God for these next few minutes. Lord, and that you would speak to us clearly, Lord, and then we could go about and have some fun, Lord. And just thank you again for all that you do for us. Help us to praise you and thank you in all things in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. Paul, of course, it's a second letter to the church of Corinth, the 2 Corinthians. And so he is writing these things early on here in chapter 3. And he says in verse number 1, he says, "Do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you?" He's saying, do we need to write letters again to you to tell you about ourselves, to tell you about our work, to tell you about our labor that we've done in Christ? Obviously, he's written the first letter, 1 Corinthians to the church. And he told them in chapter 9 and some other places, he told them, hey, here's what we're doing and here's why we're doing it. And here's the Lord has spoken to us and we're trying to help you and speak unto you and to get you to grow. And here in 2 Corinthians, he's saying, do we need to do this again? Do we need to write letters to you to tell you about ourselves? Or do we need letters from you to talk about what we have done? Look in verse 2. He says, ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. He says, we don't need these letters of commendation. We don't need to write to you and tell those of you and those around you what we're doing and why we're doing it. He says, ye are our epistle. He says, you represent our work. You represent our goals. You represent our mission. You represent our effect. Not only do they represent those things, but he says, you, in essence, he's saying, you reflect our hearts towards the people that are there and in your area in Corinth and the surrounding area. You are our epistle. You are the ones that carry this around in your lives. You reflect our hearts for the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, you are read of all men. You are read of all men. He says, you're our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men. He says, this writing that you are, this epistle that you are, you're representing the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he says. He says, you are read of all men. You're supposed to be changed. You're supposed to be different. It's supposed to be noticeable. And so when people look at you, people of Corinth, he's writing to, he's saying, when people look at you, you're our epistle. You're as much as me writing a letter to everyone that you meet. And instead of reading that letter from Paul the Apostle, he says, your life is supposed to reflect these things that we would say and what we've done and how we've ministered. You're the letter. You hear in 2 Corinthians, flip back to chapter 1, if you have to flip. Chapter 1, look in verse number 13. He says, for we write none other things unto you than what ye read or acknowledge. And I trust ye shall acknowledge even to the end. And also ye have acknowledged us in part, that we are your rejoicing, even as ye also are ours in the day of the Lord Jesus. He says, we rejoice in you. You have rejoiced in us. And this rejoicing is, in fact, that you have the handwriting of us all over you. Amen. We have come and preached the gospel and preached Christ and have sent you letters so that you could grow in the Lord. And he says, now, do we need to do more letters? He says, you are our epistle. Amen. You're the one. And you should it should be recognizable in your life. In verse number 3, he goes on and says, for as much as ye are manifestly declared, not only to be their epistle, but declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone. And that's pretty permanent, right? I mean, that's the Moses coming down off the mount with the law, written by the finger of God in tables of stone. That seems pretty permanent. He said, but not in tables of stone, but in fleshy tables of the heart. Yeah, he said, this Holy Spirit of God is not writing this epistle. He's not writing these things down on stone to set up somewhere where everyone can come and go and visit. Right? I mean, we don't say the only place that you can hear or know anything about God, well, you have to come to our church. And you have to sit here, and this is the only place that God speaks. Because if this is the only place that God speaks, then he's speaking through me. And if that's the only thing, God forbid. He has a lot more to say than what I say. He has a lot more to speak to us. Why? Because through the Spirit, he writes down his epistle on our hearts. He writes these things for us. So And not only is he saying that you're our epistle and our influence, he says, but you are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ. He says, you're also a writing representing the Lord Jesus Christ, written by the Spirit of God and written in your hearts. And just because the Spirit writes some things in your hearts, did you notice that nobody else can read your heart? Amen. But they can read your life. They can read your life. And so when Paul speaks to the church at Corinth, I want to make that application for you and I this morning, that we are also an epistle of Jesus Christ. Yes, we minister one to another, the preaching of God's word and the fellowship of the saints, but we are an epistle of Christ written by the Holy Spirit of God. We are to be written and live a life according to the representation and the epistle of Jesus Christ. Amen. Somebody once said, your life might be the only Bible some will ever read. Amen. People are reading your life. Amen. Why? Because you're an epistle. You're an epistle. You are what some will ever know of what you claim. And hopefully that is someone that is saved and born again, someone that is a Bible believer and attempts to represent the Lord Jesus Christ. If that's what you claim, that might be, your life might be the only example some people have. And they won't sit down and read the Bible, but they'll watch you. And they'll read you. And they'll see what you're doing. And this morning, I want to preach to you on a good epistle. A good epistle. You are a letter from the Holy Ghost to those around you. Amen. You're a representation of Jesus Christ. You're the life you live, it should be the letter, the influence, the mission statement that the Holy Ghost of God wants to reach others. Amen. And he uses you and I. So I want to preach this one on a good epistle. A good epistle. All right, I'd like to say this firstly. A good epistle should be written on prepared material. Written on prepared material. The Holy Ghost is writing on the table of your heart. But you first need to be a Christian. You first need to be a Christian. That your heart, for the Holy Spirit to write on your heart, that heart needs to be prepared. It needs to be right. Listen, I know this is going to be lost on some, but most of you can understand some of this simple thing. Why? Because we used to write letters. All right, now hold on, I know. Huge divide happening right now amongst people's minds, right? Letters, that's where you got out a piece of paper, if you remember what that looked like, a piece of paper, and then you took some type of a pen or a pencil, something to write with. And then you wrote letters that formed words. And you wrote out your thoughts on a piece of paper. And then we used to find an envelope, get a stamp, lick the stamp. If you remember that. We used to lick the stamp and put it in the mail. We just put it in a box. A stranger would come and get it. And then we trusted them to deliver it to who we wanted to give our thoughts to. And it showed up at their place. And then they opened it and they read it. You guys remember that? Is this ringing a bell now? Yeah. A letter. But written on prepared material. I try to be mindful of certain things. And I try to write letters or thank yous or something for different things. And sometimes it's coming kind of from the church, so I'm using like a church letterhead page, and I'm writing that on there. Sometimes I'm just getting a thank you card. But it's prepared for what you want. It's prepared for what you're trying to accomplish. And I know the term Christian is used very, very liberally these days, meaning virtually anything. Yeah. I'm a Christian. You have no idea what that means when you talk to someone. But what we're talking about is someone who is saved and born again. Yeah. Acts chapter number 11 says they were called Christian first at Antioch. And this was a Gentile place north of Jerusalem, north of Israel, north of Galilee, this place called Antioch of Syria. And this place was a Gentile place where the church went there and they started preaching the gospel and people started getting saved and people started meeting together and telling other people about Jesus Christ and what it meant to be saved and what it meant to use the Bible term to be born again. These were Gentile believers, not those weird Jews that had all these rules and regulations and everything, right? Because that was weird to the Gentiles. It wasn't that. It was their own. It was their own people, their own neighbors, the places that they went to the market and all the gas station, right? I understand there was no gas station. They went there and the places where they went, those people were getting saved and becoming followers of Christ. And their lives said something different to the unbelievers that were around them. And the unbelievers said, those people follow this Christ. They're Christians. That's what they are. It was not the really watered down, like I could live any way I want to and still claim to be a Christian. It was not that. It was a definitive difference in these followers of Christ that made the lost people around them say, something happened to them. What is going on? And they said, hey, let me tell you about this Jesus who was the Christ. And they said, whoa, this guy's gotten religion. He's a holy Joe over here. Right? All the sayings, all the stuff. That's what they were. They were Christians. And when you get saved and born again, the Holy Spirit of God does some things and He gives you a pure heart. Amen. He gives you some material for the Holy Ghost to work with. That's what He does. A pure heart of faith, a pure heart of belief. Romans chapter 6 says, "Ye obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you." Romans chapter 10 verse 10 says, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness." It's with our heart. It's when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior that the Holy Spirit of God does something for you. He forgives you of sin. He takes that sinful nature that you have and gives you something inside that's holy and it's part of Him. It's God's Holy Spirit. And He changes you inside to where God looks at you and says, "This is my son. This is my child." That through faith received the Lord Jesus Christ. We're no more children of wrath and children of disobedience, which is what the Bible says we are in our natural state of this body without Christ. Without Christ, you and I are condemned. We're condemned to pay for our sins. And Jesus Christ laid His life down so that you and I, by faith, could receive His sacrifice and say, "Lord, I need a Savior. I need someone. I can't." The Bible says, "Not by works of righteousness, which we have done." That's what religion tells you. Just be pretty good. The Bible says, "Not by works of righteousness, which we have done." It's through His mercy. It's through His grace. It's through His sacrifice that we can have salvation. And Jesus Christ offers it to all. He's not picking and choosing. You don't have to be a pretty good person. You don't have to reach this kind of standards. The Bible, you know what the prerequisite for salvation is? To be a sinner. Right, and if we're all honest, we can say, and if I'd ask for a raise of hands, we could say, "Yeah, I'm guilty. I'm a sinner. I've went against God's law. I've went against what I know God put on my heart to say was the right thing and the wrong thing. I've went against that." You qualify. Good news. Good news this morning. You qualify for salvation. In order to be a good epistle, you have to be prepared. You have to be a Christian. You have to be saved and born again. And that's what it means. Now, the rest of this message is basically going to be what are you doing? Not to give it away or anything, but basically the rest of the message is, how are we representing the Lord Jesus Christ? How are we representing Christ as a Christian? because they were called Christians first in a place where they noticed a difference. They noticed a difference. But the first thing is, it has to, a good epistle is written on prepared material. I like to say this secondly, a good epistle should be legible. What does that mean? You can read it. That's what legible means. You can read it. We used to, when I was in Bible school, we used to have to turn in sermon outlines. In our first year class, preacher's class was run by Dr. Ruckman. And so we'd have to prepare these outlines with different types of outlines, whether it was topical, you pick a topic in the Bible and you preach on it, or whether it was biographical, you pick a character and then you preach on this character of the Bible, or it would be another one of the ones where it's like contextual, where you kind of preach, expository is the big term these days, where you just take a text and you preach right, all of your sermon comes out of this text. And so we have to do that and write those down and, you know, with fear and trembling, turn them into Dr. Ruckman, you know, like, oh no, he's going to grade these things. And so, but you'd get your papers back and they would have like smudges on them. They would have like stains on them, sticky stuff on them. It was Dr. Ruckman handwriting stuff on there. It looked like a doctor's handwriting. Where you're like, I have no idea what that says. Remember when doctors, we're going way back today. Remember when doctors used to handwrite prescriptions? And they'd handwrite notes and you get it and you go, I don't know if I'm dying or have a headache. You know, and you give it to somebody that's, you know, I think that white coat just allowed them to read hieroglyphics and scribble. That is, oh, okay, yeah, we know what you need. I hope you do. I don't want to die today. I don't want to be sick. Will you give me the wrong medicine? Do you have any idea what this is? Are you sure you know what this is? Do you need to call someone, right? It wasn't legible. You look at it and say, that doesn't even make any sense. Well, if our lives represent the Lord Jesus Christ, they should be legible. Amen. What's that mean? It should be clear. We're an epistle of Christ. It should be clear who we are and what we stand for. Our decisions, it should be clear on the lives that we live. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Second Corinthians 6 and verse number 14. The Bible says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreements hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. What is Paul writing to the church? In the same book, Paul's writing to the church and he says, you're our epistle. And you know what you should do? It should be clear what you are. It should be clear that you're an epistle of Christ. It should be clear that you're different from the world. Say, well, I don't really like to stand out. Listen, this world is going so crazy so fast that if you stand for the simplest of truths, you will stand out. You will stand out from the crowd. I mean, you simply say some of the simplest things. We should not rejoice over people dying. You just blew some people's minds. Someone died. Well, I didn't agree with them. Okay. We shouldn't be celebrating death. This doesn't seem like it should be a very far leap of humanity. But yet here we are. There are some very simple things that we should be able to stand for family values and have people not think, you know, we're the worst human beings. But hey, you stand for the family and people are going to look at you weird. You don't have to go very far. But you stand for something. Listen, as a Christian, we should be legible. Amen. We should be an epistle of Christ, and we should be legible. We should be easy to read. Our lives should be clear. No, I do not stand for that. I stand for this. According to the best I can, according to the Word of God. And if we're an epistle of Christ, which the Bible says we are, we should be legible. Not only that, but we should be, as a good epistle, we should be free from spots and stains. I've already told you, I'd get some of that stuff back, and they'd be like, what am I looking? Dr. Ruckman, what did you eat dinner over this outline? Was it that bad? What happened? It'd have stuff all over it. Scribble marks, change this, do this. It should be like this way, and this thing, oh, this should be the other way. All these scribble notes. If we're going to be a good epistle, we should be free of spots and stains. You know what that means? We should be clean. We should be clean. Song of Solomon, chapter 4, and verse number 7 says, thou art fair, my love, there is no spot in thee. There's no spot in thee. Look and turn to Ephesians chapter 5. It's to the right, a couple books, Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5 and verse 25. Bible says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, why did he die for the church? That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Amen. He said he died for the church so that he could wash it. He says, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Amen. That's what he said, his words. And he died so that we could be a glorious church. But not only did he die for us, but now he lives again. He lives for us. He rose from the dead. He lives forevermore on the right hand of the Father. To do what? To make intercession for you and I. To be the go-between. When the Father could look at us and the way that we live our lives sometimes and say, man, that's irritating. And Jesus Christ says, yeah, but they're covered in my blood. And they're heirs of the kingdom, like me. Heirs with Christ. He intercedes for us. He is our high priest who offered a sacrifice once and sat down on the right hand. In John 15, verse number 3, Jesus Christ says, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Amen. We're supposed to be clean. Psalm 119:9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Talked about this in Sunday school. By taking heed thereto according to thy word. How do we get clean? How do we stay clean? The word of God. The Word of God. And if we're a good epistle, we should be free from spots and stains. This world's filthy. Amen. You can't hardly turn anywhere. You can't hardly listen to anything. You can't hardly watch anything. You kind of have to just almost go like this. Yeah. Not while you're driving, but... but even while you're driving, you can't look at... you get this billboard and that thing and this other thing. And it's this world is just, it's dirty. It's filthy. It's against God. It's not pure. It's not lovely. It's not the things that the Bible says we're supposed to think on these things. It's not that. And what are you and I supposed to be? We're supposed to be clean. We're supposed to be clean. What does that take? It takes work. Because this flesh likes stuff that's not always clean. Our eyes and our ears and our mouths and the things that we go and the places that we can touch and our feet take us. We're not all pure and perfect. This flesh, what's it want to do? It kind of wants to find the mud and go wallow around in it for a while. Just like the pigs. That's what this flesh likes to do. But the Holy Spirit of God inside of us, it desires and yearns and longs for things that are clean and things that are pure. Like the Word of God. And if we're an epistle written of the Holy Spirit of God, written on our hearts, and we're supposed to represent Christ as our life to be read by others, It should be a clean life. It should be a clean life. Never feel shame for someone making fun of you if you're clean. Don't ever do that. Don't ever do that. I'm not saying you walk around with your nose stuck up in the air. I'm not saying that. But for the grace of God, right? Those of you that were raised in church and you were afraid of getting a whooping so you didn't do all the wrong stuff, good. You don't have to get dirty to fit in. You don't have to know everything everybody knows to fit in. You don't have to go on social media and surround yourself with filth so that you feel like you can understand the jokes and the talk of the world. Just say, Lord, I want to be clean. And let the world do what they're going to do. And say, I'm just trying to please the Lord. Amen. Say, well, that's hard to do and to say. I understand. But a good epistle will be free of spots and stains. It's clean. It's different. You represent the Lord Jesus Christ. So represent Him. Amen. He's not dirty. He's not filthy. He's righteous and He's holy. The Lord says, be holy for I am holy. I know we got people leaving, so we'll give them a second. Anyone else have to go? Yeah, you can leave. What's going on? Who's up? What's happening? I tried to warn you, all right? They're going to get everything ready for us. Let me tell you this as well. A good epistle. A good epistle should bear the expression of the writer. That's what a good epistle does. It bears the expression of the writer. Who's the writer? It's the Holy Ghost. Amen. And so what does that mean? We should be consistent. Amen. We should be consistent. Not wavering. Consistent. The writer is the Holy Ghost of God. He's called the Spirit of Truth. Amen. Jesus said, I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father. That's what Jesus Christ said. Galatians chapter 5 gives us the fruit of the Spirit. It tells us the things that we should have in our lives that represent the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost of God. We should have those in our lives. We should bear the expression of the writer. Amen. And back in the day, right? That's different for everybody. But when my wife and I were dating, we didn't have cell phones. I don't even know how we ever communicated. We actually had to talk to each other. And not only that, but we would leave notes or write letters to each other. And some of you can remember that. And you'd get out something and you'd write something down. You'd write down all your thoughts. You'd write down all your feelings for each other and you'd write all those out. You know, when you're little, at least when I was really little in school, you know, when everybody had fake boyfriends and girlfriends. He'd write, will you be my girlfriend? Yes or no? Circle one. And you'd fold it up real small and you'd hand it to someone and you'd run off because you're embarrassed. Was that just me? Maybe. You'd handwrite these notes. And what was it? I would get a note from my wife, all right? I'd get a note from my wife and you'd open up and you'd read it. And you know what you expected? I didn't expect it to be all her dad's thoughts of me, right? You better, you know. I didn't expect it to be all that. I expected it to be the expression of her. Amen. You'd get that letter and you'd read it and you'd be like, yeah, I am a pretty good guy. I am pretty cool. Yeah. You know, you read all those things, you read those letters. And what is it? That letter, it was the expression of the writer. It was exactly what the writer wanted to write down. It was exactly what she wanted me to know at that moment. And you get that. It represented her. She wasn't saying those things to me directly. It represented her. And we're supposed to bear the expression of the writer. What does that mean? We don't have the freedom to be able to throw in stuff we want. The expression of the writer is the Holy Ghost of God in our lives. What would he want others to see about our representation of Christ? What does he want your coworkers and your neighbors and those around you? What does he want them to read through your life about Jesus Christ? Because that's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit of God, he doesn't point to himself. The Holy Spirit doesn't say, hey, I'm super important here. He directs people to Christ. He says, I'm going to point people to Jesus Christ. Why? Because he's the Savior. And so the Holy Ghost points and directs to Christ. And so if the Holy Ghost of God is writing on our hearts, and we're supposed to bear the expression of the writer, then our lives, for other people to read, should be pointing them to Jesus Christ. What do they know about Christ because of our lives? What do they know about him? Is he clean? Is he right? Is he honest? What do we know about him? What do those around you know about Christ because of your life? We're supposed to bear the expression of the writer. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. I had to get it. I had to pull it out of the drawer. I didn't write it down. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen. We're supposed to be steadfast. Our lives are supposed to bear the expression of the writer. We should be steadfast in representing Jesus Christ. That makes a good epistle. A good epistle. It's consistent. And then lastly, I'd like to say this. A good epistle should bear the signature of the author. Bear the signature of the author. When people read your life, who would they guess is the author? Is it you or is it ultimately Christ? What is it? We have this way of writing our own script, don't we? We get up in the morning, the Holy Spirit of God says, all right, today's the day. You're like, yeah, just like yesterday. Yeah, but today's a new day. Today's a new day where you get to represent the boss. You get to represent Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit says, we're going to write this on your heart. I'm going to put this in you. Today's a day where you have a chance. You don't know who's watching you. You don't know how much they're reading you. You don't know what opportunities you're going to have new today. To do what? To be a good epistle. To have others read your life. And watch you. Why? Talk's cheap. You can say anything you want. Talk's cheap. Oh, I'm a Christian. Oh, I believe in this. Oh, I do that. And then you live your life and then they go, that's not what I thought. Why? Because talk's cheap. It's easy to say stuff. It's not so easy to live stuff. And so what do? We get up in the morning, the Holy Spirit of God has these ideas. And you know what we can find? We can find often we're the ones getting out the pen and we're writing the script. And we sign off. Love. Lord, will you sign this? Right, we write the script and then we want him to sign off on it so we can feel good about it. No, just own it. If you're not following the Lord, write the script, sign it. Done. But a good epistle bears a signature of the author. Bears a signature of the author. It should be Christ. It should be Christ. If your life has something to say, who's saying it? Who's writing the script? Paul says, for me to live is Christ. That's what he said. And he followed it up by saying, and to die is gain. Because he knew where he was going when he died. But he said, for me to live is Christ. Colossians chapter 3 says, Christ, Paul talking, Christ, who is your life? That's what he says. In Acts chapter number 4, Peter and John have been taken. And he's look at them and say, they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Peter and John are going around preaching the gospel, and these lost people say, man, we need to get them to shut up. We need to get them to stop talking about Jesus. And they get them and they take them and they start looking at them and they bring them before others. And the Bible says they took knowledge of them. What were they doing? They were studying them. They were reading them. They were surveying them. And what did they come to the conclusion with? They've been with Jesus. Amen. What we know of Jesus, that's what we know of him. We see it in their lives. We hear it in their words. We see it in the way they live and the decisions they make. We read their lives and we see at the very bottom, Jesus Christ signed off. And that's what you and I need to consider. Are we bearing the signature of the author? Or are we have our own signature? Day to day, we get up and we make decisions and we live our lives. And we should want to be a good epistle. Amen. We should want to be a good epistle, a good representation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Written on prepared material. Are you a Christian? Yeah. Are you saved and born again? If you've never received the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, today's the day. Amen. Today's the day. Today is a day when we bow our heads in just a few minutes to call out between your heart and God and say, Lord, I need a Savior. I'm trusting in you plus nothing. Not my good works, not getting wet in a pool, not belonging to a certain church, not because my parents said they were something or lived a life of something, not because my grandparents had this kind of influence on me. Lord, for my sin, I need a Savior for me. And if you've never been saved and born again, you can get saved. Are you a Christian? And if you want to be a good epistle, you should be legible. Amen. What does that mean? Clear. Your life should be clear. You should be free from spots and stains. You should be clean. Amen. Should be clean. You should bear the expression of the writer. What is that? Consistent. Consistent. And you should bear the signature of the author. Who's that? Christ? Or is that you? Legitimate questions to go around this morning. And listen, it's a humbling and scary thought to think that I represent the Lord, that I somehow am a representation of the Lord Jesus Christ. That feels like a huge weight and such a big responsibility. But imagine your life lived pointing people to Christ. And someday when you get to heaven, people that will never say anything to you, because that's how people do it, people that you used to know but have lost contact with, they say, you know what? I used to know so-and-so. And boy, they lived life like a Christian, and I understood that I was missing something. And when I heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ from them or from somebody else, I thought, that's the life I want. That's the life that's different. That's the life that has joy. That's the life that stands for something. That's the life that has purpose. That's the life that makes a difference in people's lives. That's the life of somebody that was honest, somebody that cared for me. That's the life of somebody that was on top of things, even when things were going bad. They still had something in them that I couldn't understand. Imagine getting to heaven one day and someone comes and say, hey, you were the one. I read your life. And because of that, I ended up getting saved. Because of that, I ended up asking the Lord to forgive me of my sin and receive Jesus Christ. Man, what a privilege. Yes, it's a responsibility. Yes, it seems like sometimes it seems like a burden that we can't bear when we're just so ready to write the script and just be done. And yet, what an awesome privilege to carry the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, the early church knew about that. They took those early disciples in the early book of Acts, and they said, listen, stop talking about Jesus Christ. Because you're changing people. They said, stop it. And they brought them before councils. And they said, all right, it's not a whole lot we can do here. But we can beat them. And they beat them. And they sent them on their way. And you know what they said? Man, thank God that we were counted worthy to be beat for Christ. Man. And I can't just look and act like a Christian? Sometimes? When we're writing the script? Man. I don't know. There may come a day when we can take a beating for the Lord Jesus Christ. I know what country we live in. But I also know the direction of this country. And I'm not saying we should all be fearful of bullets flying around. But listen, we might get a chance. We might get a chance to take it in the mouth for the Lord Jesus Christ. Not because we're being jerks about it. I don't mean that. But man, I want to at least be a good epistle. Where people can look at me and say, their life points me to Christ. And we should own that. We should own that. Let's bow our heads for prayer this morning.